minutes to go. Clay Ferraro is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's a sports anchor and reporter at Local 10 WPLG here in Miami. Yeah, Canes practice getting underway today. You got NFL preseason tonight. I mentioned the MLB trade deadline, 6 p.m. But, Clay, I want to start with the Dolphins. You okay starting with the Dolphins?
I'm perfect starting with the Dolphins.
All right, because I've got this feeling, and I said this to Crowder at the beginning of the show, but and I know the secondary is a problem. I'm acknowledging that, and I understand Kader Coe, who's out for the season. I'm acknowledging this. But I have this feeling that people are sleeping on the Dolphins and not recognizing that the team has legit talent in a lot of areas. And I'm wondering if you have that feeling as well, or if I'm on an island here.
No, I think you're on an island. I think this is like one of those classic. maybe Channing can kind of help out with this a little bit. I think one thing, especially when you're talking about a pro football team, is the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And I think, unfortunately, when you look around this Dolphins team, there are a lot of places where you can see weak links. And so, you know, if you're not exploiting the corners because they're you know, finding a way to stick with receivers, okay, well, then you're going to poke at something else. And if you end up having to do too much to cover for those corners, I feel like, and now with that said, people are raving about Patrick Paul. I mean, that was obviously a big question mark coming in. If that's answered, then you start to feel a little bit better. You're right. There is talent there. And yet I think a lot of teams kind of feel like they have talent. And so I think the question is, can you put it all together and then cover for some of those weaknesses? And until I see it, it's going to be really hard for me to say that things are going to change drastically overnight.
And Clay, we used to call it the duck because people try to find offensively. So I was on some top 10 defense, especially Saban's years, 05, 06, we were top 10 in every category. And I end up being the duck because it was Junior Seau, Zach Thomas, Jason Taylor, Sam Madison, Kevin Carter, Vonnie Holiday, Keith Traylor. So, like, they would pick on me. You try to find the weakest link, to your point. And where, like, it's glaring right now. I think the front seven will be good. The Brooks and Willie Gay, like, they're getting praised. I got to watch them in a real game because I watched Brooks last year. I haven't seen Willie Gay play ball. But the glaring point is the secondary. Kader Kohu goes down. You trade Jalen Ramsey. Like, I would throw the ball 50 times on this team and see what those dudes are about. I've said it. I said it before Kader Kohu got hurt. They need to go out and get a veteran corner. Do you think they address that position in a bigger way than signing some free agents? Because right now, there's nobody that's at their mom's house cooking breakfast that's going to fix any secondaries.
Well, and I think that's the problem is, you know, they kind of left it up to that. And they were already leaving it up to that with the knowledge that they were thinking about having Kohu take more outside reps. So you're already weakening one position in your secondary by trying to cover for another, and then he gets hurt. I don't know how you can so drastically mismanage that position, especially in the modern NFL where, man, teams are coming to pass. And look, I do think the pass rush has a chance to be very good, and hopefully that mitigates a little bit of it. But there are also ways to counteract that with max protection, stuff like that, where it's just going to be it's hard for me to see how these corners end up holding up that long. And Channing, I also think if there were a bigger move out there, I think it would have already been made. And I could be wrong on that. But, you know, I kind of think this Dolphins team is what it's going to be. And, you know, if you're a fan, you just kind of got to hope that stuff comes together. Everybody stays healthy and some spots surprise you. But, yeah, right now it's definitely wait and see mode for me.
Feel like you guys might be sleeping on the the Dolphins.
What are we sleeping on? No, I'm wide awake.
Because this is what you guys are doing. You're picking the weakest link. Every team is going to have a weakest link somewhere. So maybe last season it was the offensive line or injuries or whatever. You're picking that weakest link and you're saying this happens to be, coincidentally, the most important part of the football team. And I would submit to you that every team has weak links. And I would take it a step further, Clay, and say, which Dolphins team do you think is truer to who they actually are? the 2023 team that was creative and inventive and put up 70 points on Denver, or last year that dealt with a ton of injuries and seemingly sputtered in every area? Because you're picking last year's team, and I understand recency bias. You're picking last year's team, though, over the 2023 squad, but they're very similar.
Well, but I think the other thing is, the question is, have NFL defenses adjusted to what McDaniel was doing with this personnel? And yeah, there's talent there, but you know, the talent is that the most talented players on this team are pretty much the same as we saw in 23, right? So if other defenses have adjusted, then we're hoping that McDaniel, after a full year of not being able to adjust, and I understand people were in and out, I get all that, but have they all of a sudden figured out how to adjust to the adjustments? Where it just seemed that anytime people threw out two safeties last year, like, oh no, we don't know what to do, it's over. And so, and by the way, we're only talking about the offense. You're right, man. It was really creative. It was really fun. It wasn't last year, but then, okay, now we've got the defensive questions with the secondary. It just, there's just too much for me. There's too many questions that I need to see answered. And yeah, we are picking on the, you know, one weak link, but it's not just one corner. It's multiple corners. It's your nickel. It's, there are so many questions, and like you're hoping that Mike Hilton can come in and get back to form. Just so much for me that when you start to talk about it, that they've got to answer in ways that right now it's hard to see many positive answers.
And Clay, one of the stories that's been coming out is one day Quinn Ewers looks great. The next day, Zach Wilson throws in an amazing ball to, you know, some unrestricted free agent, and they're saying he's doing great. Are we in the best situation this time of year? The best situation we've been in a long time without, like, Skylar Thompson, we all can admit that was a mistake keeping around 3 years. But with Tua number one, and he runs the team, but if it's Tua, Zach, Quinn, are we in a better situation at quarterback than we've been in a long time?
I mean, I don't know. And again, it's so early in camp to try to start judging those guys. I mean, hey, what if they're making those plays because you're going up against a bunch of cornerbacks that, you know, like you just look at it so many different ways. And I think I think you've got a bias towards whatever you think the team is. And that's why it's so hard for me to get overly excited or overly critical by people talking about camp performance, right? I will say that the one where I can look at it and say, okay, this is really encouraging, go back to what we were talking about with Patrick Paul. You know, he's going up against high level players. And so if he's doing a good job against those high level players, then you start to feel really good. If you're asking me about backup quarterbacks running against the twos and threes, running with twos and threes, and your ones at defensive back are already a big question mark, I'm just not going there yet. And I've got to see it in a preseason game. And then definitely if something happens, hopefully it doesn't happen. Hopefully we never see Zach Wilson or Quinn Ewers and Tua stays healthy. But, you know, I'd have to see a lot more than just, you know, good reports in camp when they're going up against backups.
I feel like you guys might be sleeping on this Dolphins team and not really acknowledging.
Clay is wide awake. Clay, you okay, Clay? Because we are sleeping in his mind.
Okay. So
you think,
so
our you producer, think Mike McDaniel, listen. Clay? No, go ahead. Yeah.
No, okay. So our producer, David Lang, said, as far as being awake, told me I have to tell this story on the air. Okay. So this is,
the floor is yours.
This is as far as being awake. So I got back at from Kane's camp and walked in, started ingesting the video. I'm at the station right now. And I'm like, all right, it's 2 o'clock. I need to pick me up. I'm going to go make some coffee. So I did. Made some coffee, 2 o'clock. Then go in and I start editing. And I, you know, probably took me about, I don't know, an hour and 20 minutes. And then I come out and I sit down at my desk going through the emails that have come in. 2:16, an email from head of operations from our station titled, "How to Make Coffee." So this is, mind you, 15 minutes after I had gotten my last cup of coffee. And I figured, you know what, I'm going to do something nice. I'm not just going to, like, drink the last cup of coffee and then just leave an empty pot. I'm going to be a good Samaritan and make pot coffee for the next person. How to make coffee. If you make a pot of coffee, do not add water with the coffee pot. When the start button is pushed, the water comes from an internal hot water tank. If you have any questions or concerns, please call me.
You mangled the coffee maker?
So I'm looking at the coffee maker, and I mean, unless it's been cleaned up, I don't think I completely destroyed anything. But it was
worthy of
in
an
my
email,
defense,
though, worthy of a staff email, whatever you did to the coffee maker.
And I didn't know it for an hour. But now, in fairness to me, when you open up the coffee thing, it says pour in water only up there. So what? How am I supposed to know? I'm trying to do a nice thing, and I probably broke our coffee maker.
Would you like my take on it? You're not going to like this because I'm going to call out your management, but I'm going to call out Warren Buffett specifically, the owner of your station. How do we not have a Keurig machine? Who's making pots of coffee anymore? You're a person. You want to make your own cup of coffee. You put in the little cartridge, the K-cup, and you have the flavor and the coffee that you want. I don't know of an office. You're telling me Warren Buffett can't get a Keurig machine for Local 10? You got to have do you have the Joe DiMaggio Mr. Coffee?
Well, so this will tell you something about me, too. I can't stand the Keurig machines because I had to make like 3 or 4 cups of coffee just to kind of like get the caffeine that I need in me. So I don't know. I think that probably means that there's something very, very wrong with me that I need to get checked out.
Well, that we knew before the story.
Yeah. But it was funny. My mom used to tell the story that her father had a saying for her. Her name's Barry, by the way. My mom's name is Barry, so get that laugh out of the way. But he would go, "Barry, the road to hell is paved with your good intentions." And I'm like, yep, I take after my mom.
I'm not even going to say the road to hell is paved with your coffee. I'm not even going to say that she was a bad coffee.
Hey Clay, you want to try some Wilson's or Red Bull or something? You drink 4 cups of coffee? Goodness
That's
gracious.
That's a lot of coffee, man.
I mean, honestly, it's closer to 6, but yeah.
Wow. That's a lot. Probably not. I try to limit myself to 1 cup of coffee a day but I do drink like at least 1 Coke Zero a day as well.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I try to balance it out because I drink a ton of water too, but yeah.
Hey, Clay. You don't go to movies, do you?
No. No. We watch them at home, though. We watch Happy Gilmore too.
Yeah. Boring, right?
I thought it was what it was going to be. You know, I think it's almost like everybody who's complaining didn't see the first one. What were you expecting, right? Citizen Kane?
It was kind of like your coffee, right?
Clay made this pot.
Hey, Clay, will you make me a cup of that Happy Gilmore too?
You say that Adam Sandler ruined.
We were having this conversation, but you don't go to theaters. But how do you feel about people who clap after a movie at the theater?
I to each their own. I wouldn't do it, but I mean, if it's after a movie, at least it's not distracting.
Yeah, I like it. I'm all for it.
What are you clapping for, Clay? The actors can't hear you. The director, the producer, nobody can hear you. You're doing that for yourself.
Art moved you. Art moved you.
So when you go to an art gallery and you see something good, you just start clapping?
Boom.
I might. Yeah, no, I said to Crowder.
No,
now, that
not.
Hasn't happened. It hasn't happened to me yet because no art has moved me that way. But if that's the emotion that overtook me, sure, that's what I would do. Some people look at a painting and they start to cry. They get overcome with emotion. It hasn't happened to me yet, but maybe it will one day.
And you should trip them and put them in the closet.
Well, you don't understand emotions. You don't understand emotions.
Clay, what about the people that clap after the pilot lands the plane?
Well, so I guess it depends on the rest of the trip. Was it one of those where you got a ton of turbulence? We had one of those on our way back. We're flying back from Cleveland, my wife's in my in-law's place, and my poor daughter had never experienced like massive turbulence before. And so I guess it kind of depends on like if you're are you doing it because this is a normal flight and yay, or are you doing it because thank God and thank the pilot that we actually made it here alive?
I don't know. I'm not going to clap for anything. I clap at Broadway plays, and I clap at anything my kids do because you have to, even if they're terrible.
No, that's not true. I remember a story where you saw a shoplifter once, and you clapped at them to get them to stop shoplifting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I clap at shoplifters, Clay. You're right.
Somebody's going to take that way out of context.
Can you imagine you're putting something into your bag and then you hear a very loud manly clap and it's this 6'6" black guy with dreads clapping at you angrily? And didn't say anything, right? Clapped at them.
I just started clapping. Man, that was years ago. I didn't know what to do, but I knew the person was stealing, and I wanted to address the situation, so I just started clapping real loud.
I would tell the story as you weren't clapping at them, you were clapping for them. Like, go, go!
So great, man. You should go on Shark Tank and offer investment in your security company.
Top flight security.
Clay Ferrero from Local 10. Go fix your coffee maker.